prepare me. Prepare your hearts now to be your sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true. Everybody thank him this morning.
Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Lord. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living,
will you?
Sanctuary for you.
Amen. Amen. Is that your desire to be a sanctuary for the Lord? If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to Hebrews 11. Good to have our visitors back there with us, because some of Sister Rachel's family hasn't been here before. Timbo's been here, and her daddy and mother's been here. We know that. So, but we always say to you when you come, you're a visitor. You come one time, we say welcome. You come two times, don't expect it, because you're just part of us. So that's just the way we treat you. We don't have anything to join up with or anything like that. We're just part of the body of Christ. But we do say to you, welcome, and just enjoy the services and have a good time in the Lord. Amen. I like the way that they're changing where they can get all the announcements out of the way, because I get out here and have to keep making announcements, and it throws your mind in a little different shape. But, you know, the Lord will lead all of us, so just remember the announcements. Hebrews 11, I think that's all of the visitors that I can see, but, you know, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you very much for the gifts and things that you gave to us, the things from the church and all, and from each one of you individually. We thank you very much for those things that you gave unto us, and we just pray that the Lord will bless you, and let it be to where that you would not think of it given to my wife and I, but to be given to Christ Jesus, because that's what we try to be with you. So just remember that. Hebrews 11, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of the year, the time that we can come together. The world is in a great time, Lord, of material wealth and different things, and it keeps the economy going for them to have such a time of the year. Father, they look forward to that because it keeps everything to being spending money. But we always look forward to every day, because we know and realize that it's not a day nor a time or an hour that we are to worship your birth, but it is a, Lord, all the way through the year, every day. It's a wonderful opportunity to realize that our Lord and Savior came to earth to live with us, but not to just become a baby, but to be a man, to come and die that we might be able to have life. We ask you now that you would just bless. Remember all the things, the sicknesses and things, Lord. We pray that you would just touch each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the message. Reading of the scriptures. And like I say, this time of the year, you know, I'm not one to preach a message. I just never have been that way. I don't preach a Thanksgiving message. I may preach a Thanksgiving message at Christmas, you know, or vice versa. It's not that, you know, I'm against anybody doing that. I'm just saying I just don't do that. I just, whatever that the Lord gives me, I try to bring it for the time. But as I was praying and thinking about it, it's not the fact of a baby that we cherish so much. That had to happen to where that Christ could die for you and I. But it's the fact of a man that lived upon the earth, and that man was Almighty God, made manifest. And then that man gave his life that you and I could have eternal life. Not to just have a Christmas time or a date or a time or a season, but to be able to, you know, to have eternal life and be happy in the Lord all year round, you know, and all like that. But just think on these things, and if we forget it, we do wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year time if we don't get to see you, and all. But I've never been one to say, well, this is the end, this is the end, you know, we're ending up, it's coming up into seven now, so now your typologists will all be typing how the number seven has come around, you know. Well, if they do, you better be careful, because seven is completion, but eight is eternity, so that means you got another 2 years to go. And I don't look that way. I just look at the fact that Jesus Christ is revealing himself. The prophet said the bride would be waiting for the revelation of the rapture. So that's what I'm waiting on. You say, well, we've been in this, we've been in that, we're in the rapture, but there's got to be a revelation. See, Martin Luther didn't go out preaching the just shall live by faith until God revealed it to him. But then when he revealed it, he was out preaching it to him. So that's the way I see the rapture coming. I just ask you to pray one for another that the Lord would bless. Now, we've been talking about faith. This is message 19, I think, of faith that we've been speaking on, trying to get you to see something about faith. Now, I begin to see this as I begin to speak on it, the subject today. I want to speak on substance faith. We've given many titles, and I've got them written down to make sure that I don't overrun and use the same title again. I try not to, but, you know, I want to talk today about something that I've tried to get you to see for quite a while. Now, Webster says that a substance is what anything consists of, you know, all right? Now, we use it in the basis of whether it be natural or spiritual. In other words, something tangible, see, natural, that's easy to see. It's easy to talk about things that you see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. That's easy to speak about, you know, because it's what we call tangible items. Or, as we'll get to it in a minute, a scientific fact. You know, all right? But see, we look not at the things which are seen. We Christians, we look not at what's seen, but we look at what's not seen. All right? Because now the whole point I want you to see is that if a substance is what anything consists of, then it's easy to see that, well, this pulpit, yeah, it's made of wood, you know. It was a tree at one time that growed out in the woods, and they cut it down and they made it. But see, that's a scientific fact. All right? Now, what I want us to deal with is seeing it like faith to see what this tree come from to make the pulpit. All right? Now, according to what we read, says through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Right. What now? So that things which are seen, the tangible, pulpit, wood, trees, cars, whatever, were not made. Now, not made of things which do appear. Now, we know that the oak tree, and it's just oak, you know, the acorn's got to be put in the ground by the little squirrel, you know, and pushed down, and then it grows up and finally makes a tree and all like that, and they take it and they cut it down and they saw it up and they make it. It takes many, many, many years for it to come to pass. All right? But we look at that and we think that's more real. But what brought the acorn, you know? What brought the first tree?
That's
Well, the Bible says the Word of God. All right. Now, so then the Word of God is more real than anything we could think of in the line of tangibility or a scientific fact. Because the Word brought into existence the oak tree. But not from another oak tree. All right? Now, how God done things and made it, I don't know. You know, I don't know how he molded this and that and the other, and he come up with an oak tree. And he done this, that, and the other, and he come up with a poplar, you know, or a pine tree or a cedar tree. I don't know how he done that, and it's none of my business. But I know that what I'm looking at is not the real thing. And as long as I keep looking at something that I've got to see, see, then I got a problem. Right. Now, like healing. Right. See, it's easy to say I'm healed when you have a cancer or whatever you have, you know. And then all at once it's gone, and then you go to the doctor, and he gives you all of the scientific facts, and he says, well it's gone. You can come out and run. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. But now, that's not the way it works. Because we first got to believe it and then confess it. It's easier, as I said, to make statements and, you know, as we call it, hindsight. You know, that's easy. But what about when you're having to make a statement looking forward to the future? And if you don't say and believe it and say, by his stripes I'm healed, then God can't make intercession, as the Bible says, upon our confession. So now, which one is the more real now to us? That's my point of the whole message. If you don't get nothing out of the message today, get that point. The point is, what is real? What is reality? Which one is the most tangible? I gave you a quote where Brother Branham was talking about it, and the man said, in other words, he's talking about it, I can't believe it if it ain't a scientific fact. Brother Branham said, if it's a scientific fact, you don't have to believe it. So we're going at it wrong. But I want you to think about substance faith. Now, whether you need healing, whatever you have need of, think on these things. All right? That faith is not an imagination. It's not an imagination. That's what we call faith. But it's not an imagination. It's an actual substance. All right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, the prophet said, now to be an evidence, it would have to be a substance. And being that, then, it's what we can... See, we think we've got to have something under our feet to walk on. But yet, if I can get what's in my heart by revelation down to my feet, there won't be no trouble walking off the earth. That's a simple matter. See, when Enoch walked up the side of the pyramid or around there, you know, as he was building, he just got up to a place that he just stepped out in mid-air and he just began to walk on off the earth, as we'd say. Well, he looked back and he seen the world and all of the scientific facts that was below him, the tangible things. But yet he said, well, the last time I put my foot down, I found something solid. Let me take one more step. He just kept walking. What? Because he was walking on the Word, and the Word is the actual substance. So that's what I want you to see now. Faith is more real than anything you can see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Faith is a substance. It's not something You just imagine. I gave you a bunch of quotes on these things. Not something that you just think is right. Well, I believe that. You know, I believe that. I just feel like that I'm healed. You can get into Christian Science, you know, and all kind of things, and talk about how you got this great faith. But now, the prophet said, as we were trying to cover the last service on part of it, and been for quite a while, he said that, like rapture message and things, he said faith is a revelation. Now, is a revelation an imagination? Put faith and revelation together. Don't think that faith is something you imagine or something, but a revelation, now, that's different. Now, the prophet said faith is a revelation. So if faith is a substance, then a revelation is a substance, because that's what you're talking about. Don't put one as to be in one thing and one another. Don't separate. Put it together. So you say, well, Brother Dale, it's been revealed to me that I'm healed. Amen. That's a substance if it's a revelation. But that's faith. You remember the message we covered? It was revealed unto Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. Well, it didn't matter to him how old he was. It didn't matter to him how many days it took place. It didn't matter to him how long he had to wait. It was revealed to him. God revealed it to him. That's what faith is. Faith is a revelation. Faith is not an imagination. See, Christian Science deals on, you know, mind over matter. I believe that's the one. They deal on mind over matter on the basis that you just say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. You know, somebody said, well, you're still sick. Said, no, I'm healed, I'm healed. Well, see, the people of this message, that's pretty well the way you and me are. That's good to keep confessing something, because it might just happen to come out to be a revelation, you know. But that was not what Abraham had. Abraham had a revelation that he was going to have a child. Now, he got the revelation in stages, because it was not told to him that he was going to have the child by Sarah. That was many years later before Sarah was mentioned, you know, as far as the child. But see, Abraham had a revelation. Go on reading there in Hebrews. By faith, Abraham. But see, Abraham, now watch, Abraham took God's word. He believed God spoke to him. All right, in believing that God spoke to him, that was a substance unto him. But now let's take a story-like form of it. Say, here's Abraham. He's going out, and every day he's saying, I'm going to have a child. I'm going to have a child. Well, here comes up somebody, and they begin to look at that, and they say, well, you know, Abraham, he's causing quite a stir talking about going to have a child. I believe I'll get me a following. And he starts telling about, I'm going to have a child. And most of you remember years ago, and I'm not throwing, I'm just saying it, that a brother was talking about a world record deer he was going to get. You know. Well, it developed in his church, people saying, I'm going to get a new car. And one of them was going to get an albino groundhog. You know. See? Well, now, one might be real. But what about the rest? Well, the brother said it for all these years. He's going to get this, going to get that. That's all right if it's a revelation. But if it's not, he's just got a mental concept. And that's what we do about divine healings and things. And we have problems about divine healing, but we're quick to tell you all of the revelations we have. Well, we need to ask God for a revelation that we're healed. Confession is wonderful. We believe in that. But a confession of what you're doing is only a mental concept until it becomes a revelation from God. Don't separate revelation and faith. Put it together. Because if you're healed, God reveals to you that you're healed. That's a revelation. You say, well, I've never had a revelation, Brother Dale, but I've been healed. Well, if God told you is healed, what is that? But see, that's an actual substance now. It's something, I gave you a quote there with Brother Branham, or two or three, where he said it's actually something you possess. Abraham possessed the revelation that he was going to have a child. Now, that confession is what brought that to pass. Now, what if Abraham would have went forth and said, well, I thought I heard a voice, but I doubt it. No. The Bible says against hope, he believed in hope. Now, that form of hope there is not a, well, I hope so. That hope there is a revelation. Against all things that could be in any way against what he was believing, he believed it anyway. The older he got, the more he believed it. Now, it came from a place with Abraham one day until he had a scientific fact. Right? He had a child that he could show everybody. But all through there, God was dealing with him. And remember, Abram means high father. Didn't have no children. But his name was high father. All right. Then he gets the best he can do under high father. He gets an Ishmaelite. All right. But he's called high, that's what it means. Abram means high father. Well, then God comes along and changes his name. And he hadn't changed his body. He just changes his name. Well, high father is pretty good, you know. But God changed his name and called him Abraham, gave him part of his own name, the H-E-M, him. Not H-A-M that belongs to the other ham guy, you know. Leave him out of it. Because it's pronounced him if you'll talk to Sister Barbara about it in their language. But see, once he received that, he still couldn't produce no more. I mean, once he got to the place that he was within a year of it and talked to God and got a name change, and he couldn't produce still nothing as far as a scientific fact. He had trouble trying to convince Sarah of it because she wanted to get him involved with somebody else. But in the long run, finally one day, Abraham had within his hands what 25 years before he had believed and confessed. And his name become Father of Nations. Still didn't have any children until that baby came, other than Ishmaelite. Now, to Abraham, which was the greatest? This is the point I want you to see. I asked you a question Wednesday night about, you know, which was greater to Abraham when he had the actual child within his hand, you know, or when he had the confession of the child by revelation? Which was the greatest? Well, Brother Dale, when he got to... No, no. Because the substance didn't bring the revelation. Are you listening? The revelation brought the substance. The world was framed by the Word of God from things that do not appear. God didn't use something to make it. He didn't reach over on Mars and get a potash and over on Jupiter and get a little... No, that's because they came into existence too. He made it by the Word. And Christians, according to the Bible, don't look at things that are seen. They look at things that are not seen. Because Paul said the things that are seen are what? Temporal or temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, which one do you want? Do you want a scientific fact that you're healed? Or can you take the revelation from God that you're healed? All right, now. Because give me a scientific fact that you're saved. Anybody want to tackle that one? Give me a scientific fact that you're saved. Now don't start in your mind running and thinking, well, I can get up and show that I've quit this and I quit that. Alcoholics Anonymous can do the same thing. So don't go that away. There's a lot of people in the world quit a lot of things. Never was born again. So now give me a scientific fact that you're saved. So you better depend upon something that can't be seen, but that you alone, as I gave you a quote there, Brother Brown said, you have it and you alone have it. I don't know of anybody in this building today that's born again but me. I don't know Brother Branham was born again. Is that strong enough? I only know what I have within myself. I only know what I know myself. See, you've got to believe the same way. You've got to believe what? Not that your pastor's going. Am I quoting Brother Branham? You got to believe that there's not but one in the state of Georgia. If you believe your pastor don't, that one, you better move to another state. You know? Why? Because you're saying my pastor's going. No. This is an individual affair. This is not something that you're dependent upon your pastor. That's fine to depend upon the Word to come forward. But you got to have your own experience. Your own experience is what you got to have. But it's easy to have faith, is what we call it, when you can produce what you're talking about that somebody else can see it. But faith, revelation, doesn't deal in what you see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Faith dwells in the realm of Almighty God. Like I've always said about the body of the Lord Jesus. Did he take dirt out of this sinful dirt to make the body of Jesus Christ? I do not believe that. But I believe he took it from the original substance because it would be part of the earth. But that was the original substance, was what created the world to start with. What created the world to start with is where he brought his body into existence from. Not from sinful, dirty earth. Because there was nobody. See, you know what I'm talking about now. Plain language. Mama and daddy's got to eat to bring you kids. Mama and daddy ate all of their life to produce you. But God didn't have to eat to produce. He produced it from the original source to bring a body and placed it in the womb of Mary to let her be just an incubator. All right. Now, see, he came from a world that's more real than this world. See, heaven today is more real. The prophet said one day, he said, angels will be more real than anything you could think of. Well, whatever I saw or whoever I saw or whatever was more real to me than anything in my house when I grabbed a pistol and took off after it. Because I wasn't afraid of what was in the bedroom. I was afraid of what was looking in the doorway at me. And I was so afraid until I grabbed a pistol to go after it. That's how real it was. But you see, people, you talk to them about things like that, and they say, well, Brother Dale, I've never seen. Let me quote Brother Branham. All people don't have the same experience. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not the same. Now, we have the same new birth. We have the same experience of the new birth, but everybody's different. But God allows some people, Brother Brown said, to see things for their life to where they can help you. I don't make any doctrine out of I've seen angels. But I can't help to tell what I've seen. But see, that's more real. When I had a dream years ago of a little girl about this high, with long black hair, and that Brother Moat was going to have a little boy about the same height. You know, I went out telling that. That was in the 70s. And everybody was telling me that I was going to miss the rapture because to have a child that big, it couldn't be that big by 77, so we was going out of here, you know, in 77. You remember all that? I said, I'm just telling the dream is a dream, is what the Bible says. Well, there's a little black-headed girl back there. She's quite a little bit bigger than that, that now has a child within her to produce one day. And Joyce has got a brother named Forrest. I saw both of them in a dream. And I just told a dream is a dream. But now, which was the greater substance? You know, was it a greater substance when Anna was finally born? Maybe, I don't know, 7, 8, 10, 12 years later. I really don't know. Come on in and have a seat. But my point is, which is the greater? The Lord shows you a vision of something. Is it greater when it's produced or than when you see it? When Brother Branham saw the vision of the caribou and the bear, and he went forth telling everybody about it. But see, one day that become a scientific fact that he killed the bear and the caribou. But which was the most real to him? Now, I'm quoting him, he said, just think about those visions. Those visions, he said, how real they are. When he saw the little boy that was killed in the car wreck, and you know, and his leg was even broken and busted up, and he was laying in a place, and he went around and told everybody what was going to take place. But you know, one day that took place. Now, which one was the most real? Which one is the most real to you? You ever had a vision? You ever had a dream of something that you saw come to pass? That's what I said. Some people's never had them, so they don't know how to talk about it. But they could at least listen to what the Word has to say about it. But Brother Dale, I've never had a vision. Well, all right. Listen to those that have a vision and think about it. If you had a vision of seeing the year 2008, would you have any trouble telling people that we were going to live that long? Brother Branham would stand there and pray for someone that was a young person, and he said, I see you as an old person with your lunch under your arm or something, going to work or working in the house or something. Now, which one was the most real? Now, if he saw that, how could that person die before that took place? So he would say, what? Thus saith the Lord, you're healed. That Brother Dow that was up there, 90-something years old, laying under an oxygen tent, dying. But he walked in, laid his hand under there. He said, it's thus saith the Lord. He said, because I just seen you. He said, I'll meet you on the street, and you'll be at the tabernacle. Well, you know what? There was a day that took place, but which was the most real to him? Brother Brown said, if God spoke to me and told me to go up and raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead, he said, I'd invite the world to come. I would invite the world to come to see him raised. Why? Because once it's revealed to you, how can it not take place? But my point is, which is the greater substance? Which is the greater substance to you? The revelation of salvation within your heart, are waiting till one of these days we go out of here and a change, you know, and say, oh, I know, you know, I know I'm saved. I'm talking about something tangible to where that you can say, that's it. Like I say, now, a lot of people's never dealt in that realm, so they don't know. And a lot of the preachers get up and preach. And I'm not saying nothing about nobody. I'm just talking plain. They get up and preach about something that Brother Branham done. And that's fine. They get up and they preach about something somebody else done. But what about their own personal experience? Well, I don't have that. I just believe Brother Branham. Believe it until it's revealed. Pray for it to be revealed. You have your own personal experience. How do I know Brother Branham is right? How do you know Brother Branham is right? Well, God vindicated him. How do you know he vindicated him? Was you there? Did you see it vindicated? Was you there when the squirrels came into existence? He said we cooked them and ate them. Did that give his wife a revelation because she ate the squirrels? No, it gave her a belly full of squirrels. That's all she got out of it. But to him, it was a substance before he spoke it. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to say this, and I won't say no more. Somebody's got to say one day that the change is taking place. It's got to be said before it becomes a tangible fact, or whatever you want to make the statement from. But my point is, are we going to a greater place, or is this the real thing? Now, come on, we know we're going to be right here on the earth and all that, but we know it's going to be changed. We know heaven's coming to earth. Which one's going to be the greater, though? But you remember what the old black brother said that time? He said, I'd rather be standing on the word than even standing in heaven. Why would you speak like that? He said, because my Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but said the word won't. Well, see, where was he wanting to stand? On the word. If you had a way of protecting your children, you know. Am I quoting Brother Branham? And you could build a 10,000-foot wall all the way around your children, 2 miles high, and you could build it totally bomb-proof. Had you rather have your child sitting in there or have a promise from God of the salvation of that child? Don't look at it backwards. Heaven consists of the Word, the prophet said. All right. Now, then whatever the Bible says is what's right. So I don't look at things that are seen to try to see if God's there. I look at what's not seen. The promises of God. You know that somebody somewhere one day is going to have to walk off this earth on the promises of God. Why can't we believe it to be us? But somebody's going to have to do that. We talk about somebody will do it, but when are we going to start saying, I'm the one that'll do it? Well, Brother Dale, what if you went around telling you was going to walk off the earth and then you died and didn't make it? Does that change God's word? No, I didn't have the possession. I had a confession. They said about Simeon, there was no way to talk Simeon there in the Bible out of saying that he was going to see the Lord's Christ before he died. He didn't care how long he had to live. God had spoke to him. And one day it took place. He said, now let me depart, because mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Think about those people back there that by faith, Abraham done this. By faith, Moses done this. By faith, think about the things they done that was revealed to them. And they went forth and made it manifest. The best thing we can do, or the worst thing we can do, really, or the only thing we can do is get in God's way. Moses was told to take the children of Israel to the promised land. Is that scripture? But you know what he done? He got in the way. And he smote the rock the second time and set up a denomination, the prophet said. It don't take two people to be a denomination. All you got to be is one. Anything in my mind contrary to God's word is a denominational thought. It sure didn't come from God. But you see, we talk about the great revelations we have, but do we realize that revelation is what will heal us? I believe it's Psalms, what is it, 106 or 110:6, right in there, where he says, I sent my word and healed them. And delivers from destruction. But see, a substance or something, it's not an imagination. It's not an imagination, see. That's only a mental concept. Keep confessing it, though. Don't quit. It might produce a reality once you get yourself out of the way. And if I don't confess it, God can't bring it to pass. That's why I said somebody's got to stand here and say that we're changed and God can make it a reality. Well, I've heard a lot of people say that and they wound up and died. Well, I'd still rather be confessing something. Let me confess it, even if I just got to confess it. Brother Joe Solis is going to make it a reality. At least let me confess it long enough until he gets the revelation, and then he'll produce it. See, I'm talking about a substance. Now, when I talk about revelation of something, I'm not talking about a mental concept of something. When I come in this message, I saw what Brother Branham was trying to do. And I saw that before I'd ever even born again. He was trying to get you and I to see a person. And that that person, come on in, was not an imagination, but that he was real. He was real. Brother Branham didn't see an imaginary God like we talked about. He saw a reality of a living God. He saw a substance. A revelation to you is an actual substance. When God reveals to you one God, that's a substance. That's not just a thought in your mind. If it is a thought in your mind, somebody will talk you out of it. But when it's a real thing in your heart, then you don't have to worry about it. But see, people, listen, a substance of something. It's what anything consists of. God don't need a church full of people. You know what? I'm quoting Brother Branham, whether you believe it or not. He needs one individual. Now, why is he talking like that? Why wouldn't we want a church full of people? He said he needs one individual. You said, well, that was just for Brother Branham. Now, he's not talking about that. He's talking about me and you now. Every one of us in here in the Gentile dispensation, we're not a group of people. We're individuals in the body of Christ. As I said a moment ago, I don't know whether any of you are born again or not. I don't know that. Because I've never had your experience. You can tell me all about what you've done, all the crying you done, the shouting you done, the praying you done, the things you done, to try to prove to me that you're saved, that don't mean one thing to me. Because I didn't experience it. You understand what I'm saying? See, what I'm trying to get you to see is I've got a substance. I believe in the reality of a living God. Not a dead God up in heaven somewhere, or a thought in your mind. I believe in a reality of a living God, that He's revealed Himself to you and I. And by the same token then, I know what it is to be healed. I know what it is for God to bring a substance to me, to where I could life at the doctor. I've experienced that, so I know it. Well, Brother Dale, if God would just take away this problem I'm having, I'd believe Him. Where's that in the Bible? Show that to me in the Bible. You've got to confess it before it can be a reality. Do you know that the world was waiting on one man to say, the just shall live by faith? You know, the whole religious realm, all of the promises of God of restoration, all of the things that we talk of in Joel, was waiting on one man to stand on the earth and say, the just shall live by faith, and faith alone. How many people preach sermons on that? How many times maybe did Martin Luther preach on that? There was a lot of people protested the Catholic Church back there before Martin Luther come along. He wasn't the first one that protested the Catholic Church. There was many of them protesting it. But they didn't have the effect that Martin Luther did. Why? Because they had no substance to put what they were talking about. They were kind of like the children of Israel, remember? Moses wanted them to go over and they said, oh, no, there's giants in the land. We can't do that. Moses said, okay, you made your choice. You know what happened the next morning? You know, the next morning they all got up, the people did, and they said, "We're going over. We're going to go up there and we're going to whoop him. Come on, Moses, let's go." Moses said, "I'm not going." "Well, Moses, we'll show you. We got a revelation. We prayed all night and the Lord told us to go." He said, "Go." "Well, bring the ark." And they said, "No, sir, you ain't moving that ark. It's staying right here." You know what happened? They went up there and got defeated. Why? Wrong time. They should have went up there with Moses when he said to go, or Joshua when he'd say go, or whatever the children of Israel should go. But instead of that, we get our own idea, then we come up with our great revelations. See, that's why I don't have no problem preaching the way I do. I preach with a challenge to anybody, internet or wherever it goes. Come and show me I'm wrong. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people in this message I wish would make that challenge and send me a note. Yeah. You'd be without a pastor for quite a while because I'd be traveling. Because I believe what I believe. What I believe is a substance, not just an imagination. It's the substance of the gospel. But if you, listen, he said, "But Brother Dale, you just don't have the troubles I have." I'll swap with you any day you want to swap. Men are women. I'll put up with your women's change of life. Men have a change of life too, you know. I'm not making fun of you. I'm trying to tell you what we need. We need a substance gospel. We need to quit playing around with it. "Well, you know, I believe the message. I believe the message, but I'm just having troubles with this and troubles with that." No. What does the message say about your troubles? No matter what you think your troubles are or how great they are, what does the message say about it? If Jesus was here today, how would he live? What would he be? Brother Brown said Jesus walked in a world of perfect faith. He said he was a total misfit. You know, he didn't believe in none of their scientific ideas. His reading, they didn't like him. He stood there one day and he said, "Destroy this body and in 3 days I'll raise it up." That was totally contrary to any scientific thought they could have. How can you kill a man and 3 days later he can come up? Did you see what I'm talking about? Substance faith. Something that you have that you can't show it. Abraham could not show it to nobody. He couldn't even convince, as I said a while ago, he couldn't even convince Sarah. Even after he got the word of the Lord that it was coming through Sarah, he still couldn't convince her of it. You know that she had that unbelief about her until she woke up one morning as a young woman. Then she finally began to believe Abraham. Come on, show me where she had it. When she woke up a young woman, she started believing Abraham. But until then, she had her doubts and her problems. Well, it's easy to wake up a young man and say, "We're in the change." But what about confessing it the older you're getting? And, oh, of course, we can do it, you know. You want to see a young man, you want to see a changed body, it's inside of here. That's easy to talk, isn't it? What is old saying? Talk is cheap until you hire a lawyer. But talk is cheap. You make a lot of statements. But what about a reality? Do you have a substance within you that is your possession and your possession only? All right. I know people don't like the way I talk, but you know what? There is no God outside the God I have in me. But Brother Dale, that's your God. Now, there's not no whole lot of gods now. All right? The only God I know exists is the God that lives in me. You got to say that for yourself and believe it. But you can't doubt it. Brother Harris, what happened that day when you told him there'd be water in the well in 3 days? 3 days, there's water in the well, wasn't it? Because you saw the water in the well before there was any water in the well. See, you enter into a realm with God until you're there where He can produce whatever you're asking for. If ye say to this mountain, and doubt not in your heart. But you see, we've got to prop everything up. We've got to come up with some kind of a answer to the tangible mind. You know what I'm talking about? The brain, the head, you know. It wants an answer. They used to tell us when I was in the Baptist church, they'd say, well, they're having a lot of healings over at that Pentecostal. Well, we don't have to go over there. We got doctors. Come on. That was 40 years ago. What do you think's going on now? We got doctors. They're just emotionally worked up. Well, you know, somebody sitting in a wheelchair, Brother Danny, you ever thought about somebody sitting in a wheelchair and they jump up and take off? It don't matter to me whether you're singing Glory Hallelujah or you're singing Georgia on My Mind or you got the Beatles going. Something happened. You get up and go. You jump up and take off. It's easy to talk about somebody, isn't it? You get up and walk. Well, you just don't know my problem. I know your problem. Same thing's wrong with all of us. Unbelief. Wasn't that what Jesus told the disciples when they said, how come we couldn't cast out? They had power to do it, right? Come on, they were given power to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, all kind of things. What happened with the epileptic child? It worked up until then. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. They had the power. There's enough power right here in this building today to deliver every person in the world from any disease they've got. What's wrong with it? Because me and you don't believe that it's for us. I'm talking about something personal. It's easy to read. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith. It's easy to read that. But what about me and you? There's one thing about it, though, folks. If I'm put in a grave, don't mark on my grave that so-and-so, I died of so-and-so. Don't let them put it on my death certificate. Tell them I died of unbelief.
That's right. Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean it's unbelief because you die, so get it straight now. Because the Lord Jesus died, and He didn't die of unbelief. Brother Branham died, He didn't die of unbelief. Get a story of what I'm talking about. Don't write on there that I died of cancer or TB or anything like that. Because I'm going down saying by His stripes I'm healed. Let me say it no matter what. Let me confess it until God can produce it. Let me just ask you a simple little question. When Abraham first heard the word of God, did he actually see the child at that moment? Or did it take a while for it to become a revelation to him? Knowing humans and as we are, and I am, and all of us are, I've had God to speak to me many times, and I doubted him speaking to me. I wondered about it, and I prayed about it. And then one day it became a reality, what he'd showed me months, years before, become finally a reality. Well, if I hadn't have prayed about it, if I hadn't have made the confession about it, could he have ever produced it? But still, when Abraham received the promise, what was the difference in the promise? You ever heard Brother Branham say it this way? Now listen to him and you'll understand faith. He said, if I'm hungry, and he said, I ask you for food. He said, you give me a quarter. And he said, that's the cost of the bread. He said, it doesn't matter. I was looking at one of them, he said, 10 miles. One of them was talking about, you know, it didn't matter how long it was. And one time he said it didn't matter how hungry, more hungry he got. You know, just looking at some of the things he said about that statement. But he said, if you give me the quarter, I've got the purchasing power. You know what he called a quarter? Faith. Now, he didn't call it food. He didn't call it a scientific fact. He called it faith. And faith is the substance of what the bread consisted of, because he had the buying power in his hand. But now what if he'd have held that without going to the store and laying the quarter down? See, our way of doing it is, yes, Lord, I believe you. Yes, bring it to me. He says, get up and go confess your sins. Oh, no. I'm not telling that group at Lula that I sinned. Because they're all nosy and they'll all want to know what I done. Right? You know that keeps 99% of the people from confessing. Is because if they think about what you're going to think, it don't make no difference to me. That's one thing my wife always said, you're too honest. Well, why not? I ain't going to get nowhere lying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see why the prophet would say that a genuine Christian come across the platform and not get their healing? But he said, here would come a prostitute across and receive their healing. And a genuine Christian refused to. Why? Because maybe it was like Brother Tatum used to tell about Jack Cole and him, where he'd be calling out a lot of things because he was pretty bad. All at once you'd just see people in Brother Brown's meetings and people like that would have had the discernment to call out. They just start sitting down after he started calling out a few. Why? They didn't want their sins called out. They'd rather have their sickness than to have their sins revealed. You know, the prophet talks about how to be healed. And you know what he says? Confess your sins. Is that right? You know, the biggest sin is in Lula, Georgia, from the pastor to the back of the church. You know what it is? It's unbelief. And not willing to do. Gary's laughing back there while he's sitting on the back row. He said we better pray for him because next Sunday he might pass out. Because he did one time when he was supposed to have been playing his saxophone. And when he got through and woke up, he asked them, said, how far did I get in the song? They said, the first note. I said, well, we'll solve the problem, Gary. He said, what? I said, pass the first note. Start with the second one. You don't have to worry about it. But listen, church. I'm trying to talk to you from my own experience because that's the only way I can talk. I can't talk about your experience. I've been with many of you. I can tell your life story. I could get up next Sunday night. I could get up here and take the rest of the night and go down the line and take each one of your life story and tell a lot of things that I know about you and your life that some of you probably done forgot yourself. But you see, that wouldn't do any good because I didn't live it. I'm only saying what you said. You understand why I said I can't depend on nobody else? I got to depend on my own because I know what happened. With anything else, I'm just saying what somebody else says. See? Confess is to say the same thing. When are we going to start saying we're Christians? When are we going to start saying we're healed? You know, it might just work. You ought to try it. So you shouldn't talk like that, Brother Dale. I'm trying my best to get you to see what faith is. But you might ought to start confessing it. But, of course, when we get outside, how many of you will talk about how many doctor's appointments you got the rest of this week? Before the end of the year, you got to go 3 different doctors. And the doctor said you this, and the doctor said you that. It won't do no good me standing here and say it. You go out there and do it anyway. I don't have one life the first year. You see, church, we live in that realm of imaginations instead of living in a realm of reality. I walk in the doctor's office, he says, how you're doing? I said, I'm doing great. They always stop and look at you because they're not used to that. My wife even tells me, says, if you call him on the phone to tell him that you need some medicine, don't tell him how good you're doing. I walked in one time to one, and he said, how you doing, Sam? I said, I'm doing wonderful, except this itch that's on me that wants me to scratch it. He said, well, let's see what we can do about that itch then. Because by that time, he had learned to kind of understand me. But you see, church, Christians live, the prophet said. Go to perfect faith. I ask you to read the message. Go to that message. They live in a world of perfect faith. You say, oh, no, we don't. We don't live in that, Brother Dale. I tried to tell you the other day, you take the life of the Lord Jesus and compare it with your everyday living and see what kind of a life he was living. But yet he lived in a world of perfect faith. You can live in a world of perfect faith and be laying in a hospital room and all of the machines saying that you're done dead or dying. And you can lay right there and live in perfect faith. Because faith is revelation. See, you think, that's what I'm trying to keep you from separating faith from revelation. You look at that doctor and you say, doctor, do what you can do for this old body. But by stripes, I'm healed. That's what Brother Tom told one day. He said, I'm going along with your program. They found a polyp in his bladder, and the one doctor had found it, went back to get it. And he come out confessing. It says, you guys done it, you guys done it. Brother Dean was on the phone with him. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I couldn't find nothing. The same doctor that saw it before then had to come out and confess it. See, it doesn't mean that you're not having any problems and that you're never sick and all like that. That don't mean nothing about living in a world of perfect faith. You want to stay all afternoon and let's talk about the horrible condition that the Lord Jesus had to live day by day? Quoting your prophet, how he done? Groaned with a headache when the child was raised there? He said, because he said he bear, you know, our infirmities. See, we think Jesus lived in the world of perfect faith. Nothing ever went wrong. Everything was great all day long. Wasn't nothing. Now, show me that in the Bible. Because I'll show you in the Bible, it looked like a horrible life it was walking. He in no way, now you ain't going to like this, but that's all right. He in no way looked like Almighty God in flesh. Of what we think Almighty God would be. Do you understand the rest of the statement? What we think Almighty God would be in flesh, He looked nothing whatsoever like it. He looked like a horrible defeat. But yet He lived in a world of perfect faith. When they beat Him until His entrails was hanging out of Him. This thing that you see on that passion, people sat there and cry and weep because of seeing all of that blood and all of that thing. That wasn't nothing compared to what they done to the Lord Jesus. The prophet of God said He looked like a piece of hamburger meat. The Bible says we didn't even want to look on Him. But yet He was in a world of perfect faith. You know why? Because the Bible said He was going to do that. The Bible said it's going to do that. He was just laying there and them beating Him and screaming and hollering because He wasn't in a world where He didn't feel it. But yet all of that time He was looking up and all that time that devil hanging over them fellas saying, just say it. Just say it. Just thank it. If you're God, just thank it and they'll stop. If He'd have done that, He wouldn't have been living in a world of perfect faith. Because He'd done read the Scriptures Himself, the scrolls. He knowed exactly what would happen to Him. But yet we talk about we can't live in a perfect faith. Why not? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with us that we can't live in a world of perfection? Well, I got too many problems. You see what I'm saying? You go right back to the same thing. I'd stand here and take 5 minutes to explain how horrible the Lord Jesus looked. And when it finished and make a statement to you, you'll turn right around in your brain and automatically run through and say, but we can't do it. Get past that see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, on past memory, reason, conscience, affections, and lust and things like that, and love and all. Get on past them things. And just say what God said. So that's what Brother Branham said. That he had perfect faith in the God that he was. And said he went to hell dependent upon one scripture. Thou not leave his soul in hell. That's the only scripture that he had that he was coming back up. Show me the rest of it. Sure, the rest of it's on account of that. But that was the one scripture that he had. But see, I'm trying my best to preach you to a position. I got it wrote in here somewhere. That all I'm talking about today is just a foundation. I'm looking forward to another year. You know why? Because if there's another day, another hour, there's more of God's Word for Him to reveal to you and I. Thank God for that. But you know another reason I'm looking forward to it? Because in this next year, you and I are going to manifest what we are. We're going to show whether we are believers or make-believers. You know what? We're going to prove it. And by proving it, you can't blame it on nobody else. I'm looking forward to another year. I wonder every day what kind of a new doctrine is going to come out of the message, people. Why? Because my Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. When that two-soul doctrine started years ago, and I'm talking about back there in the 60s when it started, I thought then, just like I think now, there's something there. And when everybody was trying to figure out how many souls you had, God was revealing to me that God is a soul. Not has one, He is one. Because a soul means a being or a person or what you are. And he began to reveal more of the one true and living God to me. Well, every time any other doctrine come out, I start searching. Sure, I listen to those messages. I've listened to the two souls. I've listened to the seven thunder virtue people. I've listened to the Son of Man doctrine, the parousias, the two lords, and the River Jordan that's going on now. And I listen, not to refute what they're saying, but I listen because I know that if they're going off, then God's coming on. And I keep studying right around that thing until I see what it is. Then when I do, I come out here and preach to you. The reason I don't believe that. Not to just come out here and say, I don't believe it. There's a meeting one time and a man got up and presented something. Well, they called in two of the big men of this message and they said, what do y'all say? And this brother said, I agree with him. He didn't know what he's talking about. I don't mean that wrong. He probably didn't know what in the world either one of them was talking about. Because I've seen a lot of people that were totally in error, had more truth than the other side that thought they was in truth. They used to tell me and Brother Moat, don't go along with Brother So-and-so. Don't fool around with him because he's off. That's the one guy we'd go trucking up to him, try to find out what is wrong. Why? Because the devil was putting up a scarecrow. Come find out they know more about the message than the ones that was talking about them. But you see, church, this thing is not just an imagination to me. This is just not a church thing that we're with this, that, the other. I was thinking the other day, I thought, God, if you don't come on the scene and take us out of here. We've come to a place, we stand up on God's Word. Brother Richard asked me the other day, he said, Brother Dale, do you see anything else in the natural that's got to take place before the end of time? I said, no, sir. And for the first time I've ever made the statement since I've been studying the message and dealing, I said, and I don't see any more spiritual has to be revealed. I didn't say they wouldn't be. I said, I don't see no more. Brother Gary knows years ago when he told me, he said, this is it, Brother Dale. I said, Brother Gary, it's only the beginning. But today, I don't say it's only the beginning. What we're on now is not the beginning. It's the ending of all things. A reality in Jesus Christ. A substance. Can they take out of you what you believe? Is there any way that a Trinitarian could come in here and take out of you what you believe? Well, you know what that is then? It's a substance. They're trying their best to prove that Brother Branham was so wrong he was out here hunting at the wrong time of the year. They're doing everything they can. I'm talking about the people of the message is what's doing it. You don't have to have the devil to do it. They're trying their best to destroy what the prophet has brought. But see, the little bride just keeps walking right on down the road. Because each day, more is revealed. Come on, Brother D. As more is revealed to me, there's more substance coming within me. More substance coming within me. See, the Lord keeps revealing, just keeps opening up. I'm looking forward to next year to preach. But I'm hoping the Lord will be here before the service is finished. But if He's not, I'm looking forward to it. Because there's got to be more Word revealed to you and I. Not another messenger come. But more Word being revealed than what we had today. You know that the prophet even covered, and let me say this part. You ever heard him talking about former and latter rain? You know what former rain is? Teaching rain. Latter rain is the quickening or revealing of that. You go away with it? Or you agree with me? But you know what he said one day? He said, here comes the latter rain with the former on it. And boy, I thought for a while, the latter rain with the former on it. That's a direct quote. But then he spoke to him and he said, what you have today when it's revealed to you is only a foundation for what you're getting tomorrow. I said, thank you, Lord. The prophet's right. Something revealed to you sitting right here today. But tomorrow, that'll only be a background for you to stand on. It'll be a background for that. That's my Christmas message. It's not about a baby in a manger, but a man that died on a tree. You know? A man that died on a tree that you and I could have eternal life. That's the greatest Christmas present anybody could receive, would be receive the revelation of Jesus Christ into your heart. That'll make the whole year become a reality. Then it won't be presents and gifts and this, that, and the other. It'll be a reality. But around the world today, they're preaching about a baby in a manger. A baby in a manger can't save you. I don't care what you think. You'll think wrong of what I'm saying there. But a baby in a manger can't save you. Jesus at 13 years old or 12, when he was speaking to those lawyers and the Pharisees and the thing, that man, that little boy couldn't die for your sins. But one day, a man stepped forth. And that man was Jesus. And he could pay the price. Let me show you what I'm studying of. How in the garden can you theorize or come up with a great revelation and how God to kill an animal? We know he did. But please explain that. We've got a year to preach on that. Explain how that he could rip that skin off and make an atonement when God can't kill. See, these people talking about all of this River Jordans and all these doctrines, when are they going to get down to studying on the real revelation of the Godhead? When are they going to get up to the Mount of Transfiguration? You know? When are they going to get up there to where that he can say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him." And Brother Brown said, if you get anything else from now on, it will come through him. But you know what? Mount of Transfiguration, the great illumination and everything that took place to the Lord Jesus, you know where that took him? To a cross. It took him to a cross. That's the only way he could have ever stood all of the pain and the agony without stopping it, was he'd reached that place that he had no more of his own will. Surely he walked in a world of perfect faith. Let's stand. Here I... Anybody have a need? The greatest thing for Christmas could ever be would be for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. For you to receive Christ as your Savior would be the greatest thing that this Christmas could ever amount to. We didn't say to our visitors as they came in, but we always say when you come one time, you're a visitor. Glad to have you. You come two times, you're a part of us. But we're glad to have you with us today. Come out to be with us and fellowship it. But you see, Christmas, everybody talks about a baby laying in a manger. But my Christmas is to see a man hanging on a tree. Man hanging on a tree that a price could be paid. Then a baby that could come into your heart by the new birth. Because that's what you receive. You receive the earnest of your inheritance. That's why we're a babe in Christ. There's the baby of Christmas. The child that can come and live in your heart. Say, all is well. All is well. You want to make it public, or you want to? Brother Dean? Wait, Brother Harris? You want to tell the church, or if you want us to just pray for you? Our brother said he sinned against the church of the living God. He wants to stand here and confess that he's been wrong. That's the greatest Christmas anybody could ever think of, is to find out how wrong you are. And a baby in a manger won't do that. A baby in a manger won't bring you to a knowledge of your sin. But a man hanging on a tree that can pay a price. He can pay a price. He can do that. Brother Moore, we as a church can forgive you. But you've got to forgive yourself. You've got to ask, and you've got to receive from Him. So we can tell you, oh, we forgive you, and you could go away saying, the church forgive me. But that doesn't mean God forgive you, because you still hold yourself. Yeah. So you've got to do it yourself now. You've got to believe that God has forgiven you, and you've got to come repent to Him and say, forgive me. But then you turn right back around and you go back out there and do the same thing over again. Now, heaven help you. Sat with me one time when I spoke plain to you. And you didn't come back for a long time. And I said every bit of it in love, and I say it today in love. But you're going to have to deal with it yourself. We can pray and ask God to deliver and do everything. We can say we forgive you as a church. We can do everything. But you've got to do something yourself. If you don't do it yourself, then you'll go right back and you'll be worse than ever. So that's up to you. And I don't mean that wrong. I love you, brother. I'd do anything in the world I could do for you right now. But I can't save you. These brothers that are going to pray with you, they can't save you. We can ask God to save you. We can ask God to forgive you of the things. But when you walk back out of here, that devil's going to come to you and say, look, that man told you this, that man said. You're going to have to fight your own battle with that. We can ask God to help you. We can ask Him to take away your problems. But you can't go on with your problems, and then you got to make some effort your own self, now, brother. All right. Now we'll pray with you and believe with you, but you got to do something yourself. So it's you asking. Like Brother Branham went that time to Billy Paul laying up in the hospital bed. And Billy Paul said, "Daddy, pray for me." He said, "You send, you pray." Now a prophet turned around to his own son and said, "You pray." See, brother, you got to pray. You got to believe it, though. All right? Let's pray together. We can pray and believe. Father, you know our brother, and you know what he's been through. But yet he's come back today and said he's wrong. We forgive him of all things, Father, because we're human beings and we know and realize the human element. And we forgive him. But we ask you to forgive him. We ask you to speak to our brother and cleanse him and deliver him and take away all of this thing that he said he's done. You are the only one that can cleanse the mind of the human mortal. You're the only one that can clean the heart and to make that heart whole for you. We can only ask you and believe you and thank you for it. And we do, Father. We love our brother, and you know that. We wouldn't do anything to harm our brother. We'd only want to help him. But he has to realize within himself, Father, that he's talking to you, not to us. because we're not here trying to stand in your way, in your place, because we'd be in your way if we were. But we're standing here as representatives of the body of Jesus Christ, crying out for our brother and asking for you to forgive him and to lead him, Father, and direct him on in life with you. Father, we ask you to make that manifest. We believe you, Father. We love you. We thank you. And we go by faith, not by sight. We don't look at anything that we see. We look at you, the author and finisher of our faith. So just touch our brother now. Deliver him from himself. And let your love be made manifest. In Jesus' name. Anybody else that have a need? I believe it, don't you? I believe God is here. I believe God is here. So, let's believe him. Come on, brothers, let's pray.
I need a prayer cloth for my mother-in-law so he can stop smoking.
Her brother needs a prayer cloth for his mother-in-law. It's for a reason. We just ask that God will take care of it. Take it all away, the problem she would have. All right? Father, we love you and we thank you. We raise our hands to you, Father, and believe with our brother. We send this prayer cloth for this trouble of smoking and things. We ask you, Father, to just deliver. We believe you and we're expecting to hear from you. Lord, we love you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Anybody else that just have a need? Come and let's believe. And let's see.
I don't think that I have the revelation by Thursday. Not intellect, but revelation.
Amen. Amen. Brother Ray's got to go this coming Thursday. You know, he had the problem with a, had to have the colonoscopy, or how you pronounce those big words, and they had to take out everything, and then they put it back and reattached him. And he's been doing great, but now he's got to go for the test to see if everything's all right. Well, let's just believe everything's going to be all right, all right? Let's believe it and confess it and just say all is well. And we thank you, Lord, because it's a finished product. Now, you said not just mental. Said he wanted it to be a reality. All right? Father, we send this prayer cloth with our brother, Lord Jesus, knowing that by your stripes he's healed. We expect a good report out of this. We expect to hear from him. We believe you. We thank you, Father. All is well. All is well. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Just believe and see. Come and let's see. Anybody else have a need? Because I believe.
And touch me.
Brother Richard needs a prayer cloth for his mother. Most of you know about it. His mother has got a real bad back problem. Any of you ever had back trouble? Think about it. She can't lay down. They've got her actually, they got her own morphine, and they got her own, she's taking Demerol and morphine even to exist. Now that can't continue because it'll destroy the body. All right? But let's believe. Let's believe and send this prayer cloth for her that all is well. All right? Amen. Father, we agree with our brother that by your stripes his mother is healed. And Father, we just send this prayer cloth as a contact of what we believe. We've had so much pain in our back until we'd lay and cry, Father, in ourselves. But I can't do anything of that, but I can try to enter into you, Lord. And to try to manifest, just let you make manifest through us a prayer that could be delivered. And by your stripes, our sister is healed. And we believe you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Just come and let's believe.
The friend I was talking about the other
one. Anna's asking for somebody else with prayer cloth. Let's just send it and believe, all right? Let's all agree. Where she can have a baby. See, it makes a concern when you get where you can do things. This person's been, I believe, 10 years they've been trying for a child. Even they went with the all kind of the implant type thing, and the babies were dead. So let's believe, all right?
Father,
in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we count this to be so. That as Anna delivers this prayer cloth, all is well. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Let's believe. We're not going to have an evening service, so we're not worried about time. But let's believe, all right? We'll just believe it. Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to just speak to our brother. And to give him wisdom, Father. Give him understanding. Because we believe you and we commit everything to you, Father. Thank you. We love you. We commit it into your hands now. And let your love be made manifest. In Jesus' name. Just believe and see. Anybody else? Come and let's see. Let that baby that you think of be the baby in your heart for salvation, to give you eternal life.
My kids are going to Detroit on the 26th. So I want to get a prayer cloth.
Now the boy is standing in wanting a prayer cloth for the kids. They're going up, you know, to the youth thing. And let's just believe. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we send this prayer cloth as a protection. Where the kids and all going, we know they're traveling. And we pray that you would just be with them. It'd be snowy weathers or whatever there, what it didn't make no difference. That all is well. All is well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else that just have a need? Our brother wants revelation. That's more than anything that we could ever want, right? To take away our unbelief and for God to reveal himself. Father, we lay our hands upon our brother. And we ask you, Father, to let it be unto him that he would get rid of his unbelief. That a revelation would come into his heart, not into the head. And that everything would be well. The greatest of all things would be to pray for a revelation. We thank you, Father. Thank you for the sincere desire. We ask you to just make it manifest now. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? You will never be the same. Just come and let's believe. Asking for your family. Okay. Our sister is asking for her family. Let's just pray and believe. Father, we ask you that you would make manifest what our sister's asking for. She's asking for her family. What a great thing could be. What a great Christmas present it would be to be able to believe you and to thank you and to not doubt, but to believe that no matter how bad anything gets, whatever it is, confess that we believe it, and we thank you. And we commit it now unto you, Lord, and now you come and make it manifest to our sister, in Jesus' holy name. Now listen, sister, no matter how anything goes, you keep saying, I believe it, all right? No matter how bad it goes now, no matter what, you just keep saying, I believe it, all right? Because he promised it, okay? Here can touch here will never. And Ryan's wanting to get a prayer call for someone that's real sick and all. And let's just believe it all is well. Father, In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth, showing that we all agree together. Father, truly we accept and we thank you for all things. We commit it now unto you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with our brother and them as they travel, Father. And give a safe journey, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Yes, dear, amen. Come and let's see. Our sister's just praising God for touching her body, so we believe it, don't we? Amen. Anybody else before we go? Because he just keeps saying it. Keep saying it. Peggy's trying to tell me something. Sister Johnny, find out what it is, because I can't. Oh, okay. Do you want to have the baby dedication today? Is where she at? They were coming. They called us and told us they were coming. They wanted to have the baby dedicated, but we don't know where she's at right now because she's went in the back room and all like that. But let's just think about him and believing. This is a wonderful time for us, for a year. We'll get together next Sunday and talk about all the things that God has done for us. Well, it's been a wonderful year to me because he's revealed himself more and more and will keep revealing himself as long as we're here. Thank God for that. It's a wonderful time. To know Jesus Christ as your Savior is the greatest Christmas present that you could ever think of. To know him as your Savior, your Redeemer, your all in all, and to know who he is. I don't know where the sisters. Go back their way and see if they're going to come because they're in the nursery over there doing something. And his hearts are mended in the presence of the King. In the press, just sing until they come. They're having to change the baby. Of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Sing it unto him. Flow through me. Flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify my name, thy name, Lord, be Holy Spirit, flow through me. Sing it unto him now. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow. Just saying, ain't God good while we're waiting on the sister to get everything ready. God good. give us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Amen. They want their little babies dedicated to the Lord. So get the pictures later if you want to. They bring them on up. You know how we do now. I better not get a hold of both of them because I'm going to have a problem. And I'll just lay hands on both of them, try to do it that way, all right? Because I might have trouble for both of them. One of them going to fight the other one. No, you know how we do here. The family's here with them. We dedicate them to the Lord. But then you turn right around, you give them back to the family. You're the one supposed to raise them. So all we can do is just ask God to bless them and all like that and be with them. But then we can give them back to you. You take them home. And the way you raise them, that's the way it is. So you just think on that thing, okay? So we dedicate them to the Lord. Let's see if we can do this. Sometimes it'll work. Sometimes it, hey, come here. Come here. Hi there. Yeah. Hi there. Oh, you're going to be friendly, aren't you? Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your loving grace. We ask you to just bless this little sister, Father. And as we give her back to the family, that, Lord, to raise her, we ask that your protection and all be with her and just bless her, Father. We commit her to you now in Jesus' name. Let's try it again. Oh, hi there. You going to come let me hold you? You going to come let me hold you? Okay. Yeah, hey, you're doing pretty good. Hey there, wait there. Yeah. Father, Lord Jesus, we love you. We love little children, and you know that. We ask you now that you just be with this little child, Father. And as we, Lord, pray over it, we give it back to the family, to where they raise it for you, but you keep your hand of protection upon it. And this, both of these little ones, Lord, to where that there won't be no sicknesses and troubles and all, we commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, yeah, they done good. Amen. 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 Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them little ones to Jesus. Bring them in. Bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus. Amen, amen. We say to everybody, Merry Christmas, have a good time over the holidays. Keep Jesus Christ in your heart, that's the main thing. And keep your love and manifest with us. And remember, the service is Wednesday night. And then remember, no Sunday services next Sunday until 8 o'clock in the afternoon, where we're starting how the services. If you want to meet earlier, we'll bring food and sit around and talk a while, and then we can fellowship, and then we can have enough to where that we don't have to go out to the world and everything else. We can have a good time in the Lord. Anything that I've missed, I always miss something. Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for the light of the salvation that's within our heart. And we pray that you would just help us to understand a reality of Jesus Christ. That you are a substance, Father. You're not just an imagination. You're not a thought in our mind, but you are the actual substance of the gospel living within us. We thank you for it. Have your way now as we go on our way home. Give everybody a real true understanding of Christmas and what it's all about. Let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.